At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
What's up, bros? I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
We're a couple of bros on a mission to give you guys the most detailed movie reviews out there with as little bias as possible. Welcome to the All Bros. This week on the podcast, we have one thing to talk about with 4K Spotlight. Unfortunately, we got nothing for Through the Wall, so after that, we'll be moving on to our headliner of the evening, which will be our breakdown of the Disney Plus film Peter Pan and Wendy. So, Caleb, what do you say we get started?
I say, let's do it.
Need motivation? Angry Dad Podcast. Trying to jumpstart your life? Angry Dad Podcast. You want help getting off the couch? Angry Dad Podcast. You need a verbal kick in the ass? Angry Dad Podcast. You want to hear from somebody who's been through it all? Angry Dad Podcast. I am here for you. You can find me on all podcast platforms.
All right, jumping into 4K Spotlight, we only got one movie coming out, and that is Knock at the Cabin, the new M. Night Shyamalan movie, which neither Caleb or I have seen, but I do eventually want to check it out, and honestly, I might do a blind buy on this one because the Steelbook is so freaking cool. So not only is it getting just a regular 4K release and a Blu-ray release, but it is also getting a Best Buy exclusive Steelbook. Which, like I said, is really freaking cool, and I really want it, and just blind buy this thing. We'll see.
Dude, it looks super good.
Right? Like, so cool.
It definitely, like, taking a different look at what we know about Dave Bautista, because, like, all I've ever seen him in is, like, action roles or comedy.
Yeah, same here.
So this is kind of taking him and putting him in more of a dramatic light, and that kind of makes me really excited to see what he has to offer in terms of dramatic acting.
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything, like, super negative about this movie either.
No, I didn't either. Like, I'm curious what it's sitting at Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it's just I think it's one of those M. Night Shyamalan movies that just kind of slides under the radar, because it's like the same thing with Old. Like, I didn't really hear anything, like, negative or positive about the movie. It was just kind of like it slid super fast under the radar, and
that's true.
But when we ended up watching it, it was really freaking good.
Yeah. So on Rotten Tomatoes, it's sitting at a 67% right now.
67.
Yeah. Audience score is 63. So
I'm looking up real quick. So, okay. So, what did you say it was sitting at? So 60.
67.
67. So it's the critic score for it is better than Old.
Okay.
And then what was the other one?
Audience score is 63.
Yeah, and then the audience score was 53 for Old.
Okay, so sounds like this one's better.
Yeah, sounds like. Which, I mean, we really liked Old.
Yeah, so hopefully we have, and we'll see.
Yeah. Do you remember off the top of your head what we ended up giving Old?
No. Not at all.
I mean, not bad. We gave it a C+.
Okay, that's not bad. That's a lot better than the critics gave it.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's more earned. Like, I feel like critics are just super harsh on M. Night Shyamalan in general.
This is true. This is very true.
But yeah, I think 77 is a much, like, more accurate score than friggin' Rotten Tomato critics.
Yeah, can I just say how bullshit it is that the Super Mario Bros. Movie is still rotten? It's at a 59%.
Dude, like we've said on multiple occasions, Rotten Tomato doesn't mean dick all.
Seriously, dude.
They are so biased. Like, they can freaking get their reviews bought out, I feel.
Yeah.
Like, and then every, like, it feels like all the critics jump on, like, a hate bandwagon.
That is true. Yeah, that is right.
Like, it is
true.
So freaking aggravating.
It is, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not going to prejudge it anyway before. Like, just based off of, the only M. Night Shyamalan movie that I've, like, absolutely hated was The Last Airbender. Other than that, his movies have been pretty consistent in quality.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I think it's just people hating on him or just freaking bullshit behind the scenes. So
yeah,
don't fair worry. If we end up rating it, we'll give it the score it deserves. So don't you worry about that.
Very confident.
I know. Is that too cocky?
I wouldn't say too cocky. Maybe for you, but it just like, well, okay. I don't know. It just kind of caught me off guard. You saying it, just like, oh, don't worry. We'll give it the score that it deserves. I'm like, okay. Some big words coming from Caleb.
Well, it's true, dude. All the other freaking critics suck ass.
True. This is very true.
Like, they either, like, hold their, like, they hold a bias. Like, that's, like, exactly why we created this, is because individual parts of the movie can be better than others. So, I think they just, they, like, if they were rating ours, they're just filling out the personal score and calling it a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't think they take the time to break down each individual section of a movie. And yeah, it's a damn shame.
It is. No, I absolutely agree.
So don't worry. We'll make sure you guys have like the proper ratings for movies from now on.
We got you.
I mean, not like we haven't been doing it for the past 270 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's got a point there.
I would do this full time if I could, but
it's same.
I mean, I got shit to do.
Yeah, same here. We got bills to pay. Unfortunately.
One of these days, this is gonna pay all of our bills.
Dude, I mean, that's the dream. Amazing,
dude. That if is all bros could pay our bills, that would be the shit.
That really would.
That is the dream, and we are manifesting that right now.
Yes, we are.
The All Bros will pay for both of our bills. Rose is going to come live with me in Georgia. We are going to do nothing but go to the movies all the time. And we are going to show those Rotten Tomatoes people what for and how for.
Oh, I love it. Well, I feel that's like a great... what's the word? Not prelude. I get, would it be prelude into the headliner?
I mean, I guess so.
Okay, yeah. I guess I feel it's a good prelude into the headliner with us talking about how our scoring is way better than Rotten Tomatoes.
Hell yeah, it's way better.
So, Caleb, let's. What do you say we jump into our headliner?
I would love to.
Alright, so for this week, for our headliner, we'll be breaking down the Disney Plus original film, Peter Pan and Wendy. Caleb, do you want to let everyone know how we break down movies on this podcast?
I would love to. If you are new to our breakdown system, we have split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. The 8 categories that we score are story, writing, acting, character development, effects, music, costumes, and then we give it our own personal score at the very end. All of those numbers get put in our algorithm and spit out a letter grade for us to compare to movies of a similar grade, as well as a percentage that isn't quite as important, but it is fun for us to see where it ranks within our system. So, with that, if you have not seen Peter Pan and Wendy, it is available on Disney Plus today. I think we're going to have mixed feelings on whether or not you should go see it.
yes, we will.
Just from the little chat that we had before we started recording. So this is going to be an interesting one, and I'm super pumped for it. So yeah, if you have not seen it, Rose is about to spoil the entire movie for you. So yeah. Without further ado, everyone's favorite segment, Reading with Rose.
You know, one
day I need a little theme song for that, like a da-da-da-da.
Yes.
I'll make one.
I love this idea. All right. In Edwardian? I'm going to assume that's how you say it. In Edwardian London, Wendy Darling spends her last night at home with her parents, George and Mary, and her two younger brothers, John and Michael, before going to boarding school the next day. Wendy is unhappy with her departure and tells her mother that she does not want to grow up. Later that night, Peter Pan appears in the Darling's nursery. Having heard of Wendy's wish, he claims that he has come to take her to Neverland, where she will never have to grow up. With the help of Peter's companion and friend, Fairy Tinkerbell, Wendy, John, and Michael all fly to Neverland. Upon arriving, they are attacked by a ship of pirates led by Captain Hook, who wants revenge on Peter for cutting off his right hand and throwing it to a crocodile. Hook and his first mate, Mr. Schmee, shoot at them with a cannon, causing them to fall from the sky, and Wendy becomes separated from Peter and her brothers. She later meets Tiger Lily and the Lost Boys and witnesses the pirates capturing John and Michael. Hook and his crew take them to Skull Rock and chain them to a rock to drown by the rising tide. Peter fights with the captain while Wendy, Tiger Lily, and the Lost Boys save John and Michael. Hook and the pirates are eventually chased away by Tick-Tock, the crocodile. Peter is proud of his victory, but Wendy scolds him for being reckless, and the Lost Boys tell her that he has a complicated history with Captain Hook. Retreating to Peter's hideout, Wendy sings a lullaby to the Lost Boys, which accidentally reveals their location to the pirates. Wendy learns from Peter that Captain Hook was once his best friend, known as James, until he left Neverland and grew up to be a pirate. Hook's crew captures the Lost Boys and the Darling children, while the captain attacks Peter, which results in him seemingly falling to his death. Hook reveals to Wendy the reason he left Neverland was because he missed his mother and wanted to find her. Eventually, he got lost at sea and was rescued by Smee and the pirates who raised him. When he returned to Neverland, Peter could not accept how much he has changed, and the two became enemies. While Tiger Lily finds Peter and nurses him back to health, Hook forces Wendy to walk the plank, but she flies away at the last minute with Tinkerbell's pixie dust and the happy thought of wanting to grow up. Tinkerbell then spreads pixie dust across the ship to lift it into the air, allowing the Lost Boys to break free and battle the pirates. Peter arrives to confront Hook, and after a long duel, he finally apologizes to him for being a bad friend. When Wendy turns the ship on its back, which causes the pirates to fall off, Peter attempts to save Hook, encouraging him to fly, but without happy thoughts, he falls into the sea. Afterwards, the Lost Boys decide they all want a real home, so they fly back to London on the ship with Wendy, John, and Michael. Arriving at home, Wendy introduces the Lost Boys to her parents, then talks to Peter on the roof of their house. Peter reveals the Darling's house was his old home, until one day he ran away and never came back. Wendy suggests him to stay, saying that growing up could be his greatest adventure, but Peter feels he isn't ready. He bids farewell to Wendy and the Lost Boys and returns to Neverland with Tinkerbell. Back in Neverland, Hook and Smee are both revealed to have survived the fall. Hook looks up
at the sky and sees Peter returning on the ship, causing him to smile happily.
Hell yeah.
So, with the Lost Boys at the end, so, like, do the Darlings just, like, automatically have to adopt them? Like,
Okay, I don't think they straight up adopt him. I thought he was going to, like, they were going to fly around and drop all the Lost Boys off with their parents.
That would have made a lot more sense. No, instead they just get dropped at the Darlings' doorstep.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, yeah, that ended up being, like, real funky.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Because, like, who knows how long they've been gone, though, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, yeah. That's an odd one. Definitely an odd ending. So, I don't know how I feel about that ending. I'll say this. Just right off the bat, I have never cared for Peter Pan in my life.
Whoa. What? You don't like the original Disney film Peter Pan?
I do not. My favorite Peter Pan adaptation has always been Peter Pan 2, Return to Neverland. Actually, okay. That's not true. My favorite adaptation has been Hook.
I like that one. I like Hook too. Don't get me wrong, but Peter Pan will always be my favorite one. Maybe that's why we're so different on this movie.
I mean, that's fair.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Speaking of, real quick, I completely forgot to bring it up. We did post a question of the week that we're going to bring up right now.
Oh, yes.
So we asked the question, and it was just more of a poll than anything. Pan, like Team Pan or Team Hook? And, bro.
Oh, God.
I think Team Hook freaking took it by a landslide.
Damn, what people got against Peter Pan?
Peter Pan sucks, that's what.
He sucked in this movie. He didn't suck in the original.
Dude,
God, don't get me started with Peter Pan in this movie.
Dude, one of my favorite things that I've ever seen done to Peter Pan, the character, is from Once Upon a Time, the TV show. They turn Pan into a villain.
Okay, that is intriguing. I like that.
Yeah, right? So, looking into... Let's see. Oh, balls, I can't see. Alright, well, on Instagram, we had Team Pan is sitting at a 23%, where Team Hook is sitting at 77%.
God damn, people. Like, seriously, what the hell you got against Peter Pan?
Dude, Peter Pan as a character freaking sucks ass.
Well, you know what? Y'all suck ass. I'm just kidding.
We did get a couple of responses, though. So the first one... So apologies to anyone that voted on the question that I can't see who voted. So, sorry. But anyway, the first response we got is from Mikey from Failing Hollywood. He said, Hook is an all-time classic. They aren't even close. I mean, Robin Williams. Also, I'm not in unless I see Rufio. I think I think I might have... Because I put Team Pan and Team Hook.
Oh, shit. Because, yeah, there is a movie called Just Pan, isn't there?
Yeah, I just had that realization. Oh, shit. Too.
Oops. Whoopsie.
So, taking that into account, that makes sense even more.
I mean, if we're doing that, then yeah, I'll definitely give Hook that, because I never even bothered with that movie Pan, and didn't really even look that good in my...
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, so the next one we got is from Bryce Stephen Durham, who said, objectively, it's not a good film. However, personally, it's my favorite adaptation of Peter Pan. Now, if we're talking classic Peter Pan story, and that's like, I'm not counting Hook in that, because Hook is just kind of an alternate take on the character. If we're talking classic Peter Pan story, I will agree with that. This is my favorite adaptation of Peter Pan.
Fair.
But my favorite Peter Pan related movie is Hook. and then moving on over to TikTok, where we posted this, we got a bunch of suggestions, but we did get a couple. One person just said Hook, and that's Nick at Walmart_Nedgy.
Interesting.
Then, ooh, we got this one. Kabola at 9Birdman8 says, I saw it. They missed two key parts and sort of woked it, but it's still a 9 out of 10. And then we got a response from David Muniz, who says, who's going to watch it, though?
Unfortunately, us.
Unfortunately, us. I mean, I didn't hate it nearly as much as you did.
I told Caleb that if reviewing this, I probably would have turned it off halfway through.
Dude, that's freaking rough.
Yeah, dude, I got really freaking bored.
All right, and then the poll on TikTok wasn't much better. Team Pan is at 33%, and Team Hook was at 67%. And that's with 83 votes.
Oh, God.
So I cannot go through 83 names, so I'm very sorry for that. but I did appreciate, or we both appreciate everyone's responses to our videos. So thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Getting back into this breakdown, though. Starting off with the story. Like I said, this is I've always found the story of Peter Pan to be very bland. And I think that they were able to incorporate a lot of elements that fix that for me. But I know you disagree with me, Rose.
That I do. Yeah, I never found Peter Pan at all bland. It's honestly up there for Disney movies for me. And my biggest problem with this movie is that it doesn't treat Neverland how it should be, because it feels like they never go to freaking Neverland. Like, literally, they say, oh yeah, we're in Neverland. No, it just seems like they're at like a freaking cliffside somewhere. And then in comes Captain Hook and all of his pirates, and it just goes from there. It never, to me, feels like we're in Neverland.
You know what? I can give you that.
Really? Oh, okay.
Neverland is supposed to feel like a magical world, I feel.
Absolutely.
Like,
agree.
It's supposed to have, like, what, the mermaids. It's supposed to have, like, the fairy. Like, it's supposed to have mystical elements about it. But, like you said, it just kind of felt like a cliffside. Like, did you guys actually travel to a different world, or?
No, like, seriously, it seemed like we were stuck at the area before you get to the entrance of Neverland. That's where I felt that we were.
Just a hair. I think the closest they got to making us feel like that that magical realmness was The Hideout.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with you on that one. Yeah, Peter's Hideout.
Yeah, other than that, I mean, they did kind of a piss-poor job at making us feel like Neverland was super magical or anything. So yeah, it was odd. There were some things that I liked. Again, this being said, I did not care for Peter Pan at all.
Dude, same. Like, I, yeah, oh, dude, I could give two shits about Peter Pan. Wendy, though, I actually really liked where they took her character in this. That dude, was actually decent. Too.
She was
like, that
so
was actually
cool.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I liked her whole situation with Tiger Lily. Tiger Lily was super cool, too.
Yeah, Tiger Lily was actually, Tiger Lily was one of my favorite parts. Or I guess one of the better parts for me. it's been a hot minute since I've seen Peter Pan. And I know, in the original, you know, Wendy's kind of going through the same thing that she doesn't want to grow up. She wants to stay a kid, but I feel in this one with, you know, her having to go to boarding school, all that kind of stuff. We've seen that before. Even in Christopher Robin, that's what happens to him, and that's why he has to leave the 100-acre wood. But I feel the direction that they take this one, with Wendy's character, and her explaining why she doesn't want to grow up, and that she comes to the realization that, you know, maybe it isn't actually a bad thing. I feel is actually really good. I feel it really adds to her character. If anything, it might actually add a little more than the original, which might be one of the only positives that I could say about this movie. God, I'm such a dick to this movie right now.
No, dude, I completely understand, and I don't disagree with you. In the original, I found Wendy to be a very bland.
She's also, don't get me wrong, she is kind of whiny in this one. But not as much.
Not nearly as much.
Like, in the original, she is so freaking whiny. I will absolutely admit that. But in this one, she's not, which I will absolutely take.
I think my main issue, and I think this is more of a writing situation, but I'll bring it up now. But I think she didn't quite have the proper events happened to her. It felt like this almost happened within the span of one day.
Yeah,
where I feel like the original Peter Pan felt like it took a lot longer, and so it was almost like immediately as soon as she got to Neverland that she was on team like, oh, I need to grow up. But I think she needed a little bit more of a push to be like, yeah, we need to. There needs to be growth.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely agree with that.
Yeah, so, I mean, like I said, that's more of a writing issue, and I'll dock that appropriately. But I was not invested in Peter Pan's story whatsoever.
I wasn't either, and honestly, I wasn't even that invested in Captain Hook's either.
Like, that is freaking horse shit, dude. Okay, I will freaking die on this hill. This is...
Jesus.
I know. Dude, this is where... Captain Hook in this is more interesting than he has ever been.
Even in Hook.
Shit, I'll say it. Even in Hook.
Damn, okay.
I loved Captain Hook in this. And listen, don't get me wrong, the Captain Hook in Hook was really good. But again, it was just kind of like a bad guy just to be a bad guy. I love that they gave Captain Hook a reason to hate Peter Pan in this, and not just some bullshit like, oh, you little rascal.
See, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm sorry, not every single villain has to have a reason why they hate the protagonist. I don't need a reason why Captain Hook hates Peter Pan. It's just how it's written. I'm sorry, like, I am fine with the simplicity. So the fact that they set it up to where, oh, they came to Neverland together, and then Hook actually missed his mom, so he wanted to go back to the real world, but he wasn't able to. And so when he came back to Peter, he's just like, "Oh no, you're too grown up. I can't deal with you." And so, you know, he goes and finds Smee and becomes a pirate. Like, I appreciate what they're trying to do, but for me, I'm honestly okay with when it comes to simplicity of why a certain antagonist hates a protagonist. And that's how I feel with Peter Pan and Captain Hook. I don't need to know their history. I don't need to know why they hate each other. In this movie, it made sense, and it worked to an extent for me, but I feel it probably didn't work as much as it did for you. It didn't work as much for me as it did for you.
I think for me, the reason it worked so well, like, if you're going to make another cartoon, like, absolutely, like, have a bad guy just be a bad guy. But I think for a live action adaptation, you can't just have a bad guy be a bad guy. Like, it doesn't really work, unless it's a comedy, which this wasn't. This was more, like, had a dramatic tone to it. I think it worked better in its favor having that backstory between them, because I think where cartoons or just animated features are good at getting that like that cartoony action and just like that funny the Captain Hook, like, typical, like, getting thrown around by or running away or running on water from the damn crocodile or just different shit like that. Like, I think that stuff works better in cartoons. And I think that was something that it was very noticeable where they were, like, trying to escape from the crocodile, where he was, like, it felt like they were trying to go a cartoony route and it just wasn't working. And so they took a more dramatic route with the story of Captain Hook and giving, like, kind of the backstory behind their distaste for each other that I feel worked really elegantly.
I see where you're coming from. I get that.
It's like each rendition has its own deal. And I think the cartoons, like, yes, you can have a more simplistic villain and more comedic bits. But when it comes to live action, you kind of have to have a little bit more substance to it. And I don't know. I think I just dug what they did with Hook. I think making him someone that was a lost boy was fantastic. And then obviously he grew up, making Smee his parental figure was a great addition. Like, I kind of dug all of that. Like, I dug what they did with the story of that.
All right.
And then I'll say this, like, what would have been a really interesting story aspect would have been Tinkerbell. And, like,
yeah, what the hell? Tinkerbell was so wasted in this movie.
She was. But I do think that they did the best that they could.
Yeah, it just sucks. I love the actress that they picked to play her. She was great.
Oh yeah, she was amazing. But it almost makes me wonder though if she had anything to work off of, because it did kind of feel like she was just trying. Like, it felt like she was acting by herself.
Yeah. No, that's true, dude.
So so some of her, like, movements or some of her reactions felt very odd, or just not, like, it was just awkward.
Yeah.
And so I that almost makes me think, like I said, that she had nothing to work off of, that maybe she was just on a freaking green screen, which wouldn't have surprised me in the slightest.
Same here.
But yeah, I kind of really dug, like, I don't know if this was, like, if this was, like, true, or if maybe I'm just, this was something that was implied that I took from it, or what the case was. but how she tells Wendy, like, oh, thank you for hearing me, whether or not Peter was actually, like, saying whatever it was that Tink was trying to say. Like, the way that that line came off made me think that, oh, did Peter Pan just, like, lie about whatever the hell he thought Tink was saying?
Another reason to like Peter in this movie.
Yeah, like, that's my big issue. Peter Pan's a freaking dick.
Yeah. He was not like this in the original, now. Or at least he wasn't this much.
Dude, he was a freaking asshole in the original.
Okay, but not in that, not this much. He was still likable.
In the original?
Yeah.
Barely. Dude, Again, this is just me. I did not care for Peter Pan at all.
Wow.
I've never cared for Peter Pan. Like, I've cared for, like, other... Like, Peter Pan is not... For me, is not the... Other than how... This is freaking hilarious. The only time I've liked Peter Pan is when he was in Hook.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know what? Understandable. He's played by Robin Williams. I get it.
Yeah. Other than that, like any other like Peter Pan movie, I'm always rooting for Hook.
That's hilarious.
Like every other adaptation, I'm just like, gosh, he freaking sucks. And then like there's some where he's just like that. What was it? 2003 or whatever Pan was, where he was just that straight up pretty boy. Like he was so annoying. I will say this, though, that whatever Pretty Boy Pan was, that did have a pretty bitchin' score.
Touché.
But that is not what we're talking about here. So, the story's hard, because it's like, they added, like, newer elements. I think as, like, its own entity... I think this movie's like really well done, like story-wise. I think they did really well at focusing on Wendy and not like kicking her to the curb, and just like maintaining that focus on her and giving us something that was interesting, where she was trying to find out what had happened between Peter and Hook. So I dug it a lot. And I know you probably, like, highly disagree with me.
Not highly.
So, where are you sitting at, story-wise?
Story-wise, I'd probably say, like, a 7. I'll sit at a 75.
That's not bad. I mean, that is our, like, middle-of-the-road average upon average score, so... I mean, I'm not too much higher. Well... I am higher. I think I'm sitting more like an 85, though.
All right.
Actually, I won't even go that high. I'll say 81. Like, I really like this story, but for me, it was like slightly above average. So yeah, I'll go 81 there. What about the writing?
For the most part, I feel it was decent. The writing for Captain Hook was really good. Writing for Wendy was especially really good. I really liked the writing for Wendy. I'm very curious on what you thought of the writing for the Lost Boys. What did you think?
Probably as generic could get.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong, like, I am fine with the idea of, like, you know, there being, like, girls in The Lost Boys. That's awesome. I love that idea. But the fact that they'd have to point it out, like, they're just like, wait, I thought it was The Lost Boys. Oh, girls can't be part of it? I'm like, I don't feel you really need to point it out.
Yeah, you don't need to make this movie all freaking woke.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but that's Disney nowadays. Like, come on.
True that.
It's getting out of hand.
Very much so.
But let's not talk about that. Let's move past that. The writing for Peter Pan, I can't decide if it's the writing that sucked or if it was the actor. What are your takes on it?
A little bit of both.
Okay, cool, because I'm the same way. Like honestly, if I'm being honest here, I would have just called this movie Wendy, because Peter Pan, like honestly, he doesn't get a lot to do, and the fact that like at the ending when he decides, oh, you know what, I'm not ready to grow up and goes back to Neverland, I honestly was just like, you know what, this is freaking bullshit. You set it up to where. To me, it felt like they set it up to that he was going to stay with Wendy, that Peter Pan was going to grow up. And honestly, if they would have done that, I would have been like, you know what? You are so freaking ballsy, movie. I appreciate that. Like, that is actually a very interesting way to end a Peter Pan storyline, that Peter Pan actually grows up. Like, you would have some major points for me for that. But no. They're just like, oh, no, Peter Pan can't grow up. He's not ready to grow up. So, of course, he goes back to Neverland, and, you know, him and Hook face off once again. So.
Okay, well, so I understand where you're coming from with that. My justification behind that is Peter Pan and Hook came to Neverland about the same time.
I thought they came together. I thought it was the same time.
Okay, so yeah. So if it was at the same time, but Hook went back to the real world, or went outside of the magical bubble of not aging, and was like lost, and then he grew up, came back, and was just on a freaking rager to kill, or to basically like ruin Peter's life. And I think with that, Peter had come back and he pointed out that he had left that whole like situation a long time ago. Like by this time, his parents are like long freaking gone. I don't know if that's true about the other Lost Boys. Who frickin' knows? But I feel like that can be said with confidence about Peter Pan and his family, right?
Yeah, good point.
So I think he understands that. And then, like, it was the chat with Hook. At the top of the ship, or the bottom, however you want to look at it, where Hook was pointing out, like, you can't kill me. Without me, you have nothing. But it's the same, like, it's kind of like the Batman situation. Like, Batman and Joker. It's just, with it, like, what would you do without me? And it's like, vice versa. I couldn't be me without you, and you couldn't be you without me. There is no Peter Pan without Hook. There is no Hook without Peter Pan. And so I think his decision to travel back to Neverland was more like, I viewed that more as like a loving act to a former friend. And again, this might be a stretch among all stretches, but this is just where I was coming from with it. The ending, because it's just like you see him, like you see the ship coming in to like into Neverland or flying above, and you just see Hook crack a smile. Like he kind of has like an irritated look, and then he cracks a smile, and that made me think like, okay, so he knows, like they both know what this relationship is.
Yeah,
like this is a Batman and Joker situation.
Damn, when you put it like that, point. You bitch.
Dude, I will say this though about that, like that final shot. They spent way too long with Wendy carving her name into the freaking chimney.
Yeah, that's fair.
I was just like, okay, this is cool, and it just kind of kept going. I'm like, okay, and then just kept going, different angle, kept going. I'm like, son of a bitch, just freaking.
We get it.
Like, we know what she's doing, you assholes. Yeah. Like, you could have shaved a solid minute off this movie.
Dude, straight up.
But, I mean, I don't know, like you said, the Lost Boy dialogue was kind of trash. The Peter Pan dialogue was a little meh.
Honestly, I feel the only, like, decent, like, well-written writing was for Wendy and Hook.
Oh, yeah. Those two were the standout.
Even John and Michael didn't really... I mean, they didn't really get that much to do in the original.
Yeah, if anyone got pushed to the freaking curb, it was them.
Yeah. So, it was on... If anything, they might have gotten more to do in this one.
Oh, yeah, I don't disagree. So where are you sitting with the writing?
Just because of how well I feel Hook and Wendy were written, I'm a little higher than story, so I'll be at like a 77.
Yeah, I'm actually, I think it was a little bit lower than my than my writing. So I'm probably like a 79.
All right,
moving on over to acting. We have Alexander Maloney, who played Peter Pan. Ever Anderson, who played Wendy Darling. Jude Law, who played Captain Hook. Alyssa Wapanatak, who played Tiger Lily. Jim Gaffigan, who played Smee. Joshua Pickering, who played John Darling. Jacoby Jupe, who plays Michael Darling. Molly Parker as Mrs. Darling. And Alan Tudyk as Mr. Darling. Oh, and then Yara Shahidi, who played Tinkerbell. So, what's your top three look like?
So I'm going to be, I don't know how, but I had no idea that was Jude Law playing Hook. No idea.
You didn't?
No, I didn't. And I have no idea how. Like, honestly, up until I looked up the cast, I'm like, no freaking way that was Jude Law. I had no idea. So, I mean, I guess that shows like how good of a performance he
did. Dude, that looked exactly like him.
I don't know what it was. I thought it was someone completely different. I don't know what it was.
All right.
Yeah. So, okay, let's see. Top three. Like, I know my top two, but I just don't know who to give.
Yeah, I just got to bring this up real quick.
Yeah.
Just because I don't think he's going to end up in either of our top threes. What a waste of Alan Tudyk.
Dude, straight up. Straight up.
There were some freaking shenanigans going on in that movie. That was bullshit.
Yeah. Agreed.
So anyway, okay, that's all I had to say about that.
Number three, I would give to Jim Gaffigan, who played Smee. Smee was always my favorite character from the original Peter Pan. I loved Bob Hoskins as him and Hook. And Jim Gaffigan did not disappoint playing Smee in this one. I love that he really takes over like the father figure for Hook. And especially when he's going over the rules of the ship to Michael and John. That whole scene, freaking hilarious. So yeah, number three, I'm going to give to Jim Gaffigan. Number two, I would give to Ever Anderson, who played Wendy. She was fantastic. Absolutely loved her. Like I said, it feels more of like a Wendy movie than a Peter Pan and Wendy movie. So, like, honestly, you could just take Peter Pan out of the title. I know they needed to have that. But I just wish that Peter Pan was not only better written, but I wish that... I'm not trying to sound like a dick, but I wish that there was maybe a better person cast as Peter Pan than Alexander Maloney. But I am gonna blame. I am gonna put more of the blame on the writer. But his acting wasn't the greatest. But hers was fantastic. Ever was great as Wendy. And so number one, got to give to Jude Law as Captain Hook. Like I said, I didn't even know this was Jude Law. I don't know how that happened, but I guess that just shows how good of an actor Jude Law is. Cause yeah, his character development was super good. He was very, I guess, cunning, I guess I would say the word. He was intimidating when he needed to be, just all around great performance. So yeah, that was my top three.
Yeah, I don't know if Peter Pan cracked my top three at all. I think I'm going to go.
He didn't crack mine, so.
What?
He didn't crack mine, so.
Yeah. I think I'm going to work my way down. I'm giving Jude Law my number one. Freaking loved his performance. I loved what he added to the character of Captain Hook. Like it kind of adds a new like dynamic to him, and I love when movies are able to do that. My number two, I'm going to give to Ever Anderson, who played Wendy. I think she did a fantastic job of portraying Wendy. I've always found Wendy to be a super bland character, and she was able to add a little bit of life into Wendy. So loved her. And then I think I'm giving my number three to Tiger Lily.
Ooh, good choice.
Yeah, I thought she was so freaking cool. I honestly thought that she, I thought that they were going to reveal that Tiger Lily and Peter Pan were siblings.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, but obviously that's not true, which is freaking bullshit. So didn't care for that. Like when she called him freaking little brother, I'm just like, are you like what? Okay, this is wild. Like that's, I'll say this. That's why I thought freaking Peter Pan left. But then like, or why he was going to leave. Like I knew I figured he would take the Lost Boys back, and then he was going to bounce and then go back to the tribe. And I thought that was going to be freaking sick. But obviously that's not the route they went. They went with like, oh, this used to be my home. What?
Yeah.
And like they took a completely different direction. I feel like they could have had some freaking balls and done a complete rewrite and made Peter Pan one of the Indians. I think that would have been so very interesting. Cool. Yeah, like how interesting would that have been? It just kind of adds like the Tiger Lily's helping Peter Pan out. Like that's why she helps him out.
Yeah,
that's why she doesn't feel like that hideout is her home. Like all that shit. Ugh, like missed opportunities. So yeah, that's what my top three looks like.
I like it.
All right. What are you rating acting it?
Just because like my top three, like I feel were so good along with Tiger Lily, it definitely offset how not so great Peter Pan was. So I'm gonna go an 80.
I might actually be like right where you're at there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I think my, like you said, my top three are able to bring up my views of the acting pretty decent. Like, I think if it were just those three, I'd be somewhere in, like, 84, 85 range. And then everyone else, I'd be kind of down below, like, sitting at, like, a 70, 76-ish.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, just kind of, like, I'll meet in the middle there with myself sitting at an 80. All right, next up we got character development, which I guess we can do this on Wendy.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know Peter Pan had character development, but I feel Wendy had the better character.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like I said earlier, this Wendy, I feel, has a lot more character. She's a lot more character driven in this than the original, and with that, I feel it adds to her character development even more so, because honestly, it was really, it was very interesting, and it was very entertaining to watch her go from someone that is about to go to boarding school, that is just like, no, I don't want to grow up, Mom, like, let me stay a kid forever, to when we get to the end, being like, you know what, maybe it's actually good to grow up. It's part of life that this is supposed to happen, and everything that happens in between, I feel is pretty well told. It's very interesting. She definitely gets her moments in the spotlight, as she should. Her name's in the frickin' title of the movie. But yeah, no. Overall, I thought the character development, the character arc, was pretty well done in this one.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you there. I mean, for what she had, it was, I mean, it wasn't like mind blowing by any means. It was just, I thought it was really cool that she kind of had like her happy thoughts originally was like how things used to be and how they developed into like what they could be. Like, I thought that was like an interesting character shift for her. And honestly, I gotta say, I'm surprised by how far they took that.
Yeah, dude, straight up, when she just when she has to walk the plank and she jumps, and it's literally her looking into basically up until when she dies. I'm like, god damn.
Yeah, that was like
growing as an old lady. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys took that a bit too far.
Just a little bit.
But I mean, it was cool. It was really cool to see. Yeah, I really dug it too. I think that's probably I put it above my acting though. Like, I'm probably sitting at like an 81 with it. Like, I thought it was good, a little above average. Just, but it's good.
I'm not you.
It's hard to say anything like, oh, that was outstanding, because it wasn't.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree.
All right, next up we got effects. And bro, these looked freaking killer.
Yeah, these were actually pretty good. Dude, like, even the flying effects are really good.
Dude, the flying effects were amazing. I've had such a hard time with flying, and this is just like in general. I feel like every movie where there's a flying character in it, it looks odd, especially if the character's just like stationary. There are very few exceptions. Like, I feel Iron Man is an exception, because obviously he's just kind of standing there with like rockets and shit. But I feel Shazam looks awkward when he's stationary. Superman looks awkward. Basically like any flying character when they're stationary, kind of I think they look weird, but I think they were able to pull off the flying in this really freaking well, where it didn't quite feel like they were on wires.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
So, I mean, I freaking love that. Dude, Peter Pan's shadow, like, how cool was that?
That was really cool. That transitioned well from to this. They did.
Dude, I was wondering how they were going to do that. Like that was insane. I thought the way, like, the ways that they incorporated the shadow too, like when the shadow's running to Tiger Lily, like that scene looked really freaking sick.
Dude, that was such a cool way for Tiger Lily to find out what was happening. Like, honestly, I guess that's like, I would put that in writing, but I still agree with my score. That was very clever.
Yeah, it was done super well. I really liked how there were times where it wasn't even like addressed or wasn't like made super obvious, but you could tell that Peter Pan's shadow was doing different things.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I know like the big ones were when he was like chasing his shadow, And like another big one was when he was fighting Hook in the, was it Skull Cave or Skull Rock?
I think it's Skull Rock.
Yeah, whatever the hell that place is called, where he's fighting him and both of their shadows are doing different things. Like, I thought that was like crazy to look at. But I mean, if you notice, like if you pay attention to his shadow in other scenes, like you can tell that sometimes that he's doing something different or moving a little bit slower than Peter does.
Yeah, that's true.
So I freaking was head over heels for that effect. Like, that was masterfully done. Yeah, freaking fantastic. Then the flying ship. Like, that looked killer.
Yeah, that looked really good.
Like, oh. Like, I wasn't sure how that was going to translate, and that translated extremely well.
It did.
Like, that is just as cool as I remember it being in, like, the cartoon. Like, I freaking loved that they incorporated that. So, like I said, freaking awesome. I will say this, I really hope that they adapt Return to Neverland to live action, just so we can see like the ship flying through the air in like a World War II space.
That would be pretty trippy, but I guess we'll see how this does with view.
Yeah, I mean, my hopes aren't that high, but they are like elevated, I'll say.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, there were some scenes that were, like, super obvious, like, CGI, where, what are their names? John and Michael, like, when they were initially flying and kind of, like, spinning around or whatever when they were out of the house, or the dog flying around.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I those things.
Yeah, when Nana was flying, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
but it didn't feel out of place. So, I mean, they did a really good job with that. Like, I think they did a solid job at keeping most of the effects really grounded.
Yeah, agreed.
So, I mean, personally, I'm this is probably my highest score, at least out of the things that we score out of 100. I'm going to be at like an 80.
Be one notch below you, an 85.
Completely fair. We're not too like deviated from each other. Like, our biggest deviation was freaking story.
Yeah, that's true.
I think like our other one is probably going to be the personal score.
true that.
But anyway, music is next, and dude, I freaking loved this soundtrack.
The soundtrack was good. I will absolutely agree with you on that one.
Yeah, what did you think about like the adaptations of like the old songs?
I thought they were really good, honestly.
Dude, they were really good. Like, I loved like how they incorporated it, but it wasn't like a full blown like musical number.
Yeah, I appreciated that. It made it feel more grounded in reality. Even though, yeah, you know, you're in freaking Neverland, but still.
Yeah, I will say the only ones that felt odd, but I feel worked, were when the pirates were singing.
Those were my favorite ones.
Dude, the one before Wendy went off the plank was a freaking banger.
Dude, right? Like, seriously.
I'm actually going to look up real quick to see if that's on Spotify, because that was the shit. But yeah, I freaking loved that song, dude. It was so freaking good. It
really was.
It wasn't the Behemoth one, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, it was the Ode to the Falling.
That's what it was.
That one was freaking sick. It's love like that one.
Downloaded.
Oh. Yeah, I freaking love that. Loved what they did with the scores and everything. What are you thinking with the music?
I'd say I'm probably an 8.
That's about where I'm at.
Okay.
Like, I think I was, like, a really strong 8. I probably could have been talked up to a 9, but I think I'm, like, an 8. Alright, next up we got costumes. What'd you think of the costumes?
Peter's was kind of bland. I get why it wasn't, like, bright green, like, in the original. I would have liked a little more color on it, just a little bit. But Captain Hook's was great, and literally his whole crew's costumes were great. Smeeze was great. I appreciated that, literally Wendy, John, and Michael, I don't know if Wendy did, was Wendy wearing a blue dress?
She was wearing a blue overcoat.
Okay, so I guess I can count that. The fact that, like, for the most part, at least with John and Michael, like, literally what they wore was, like, straight ripped out from the animated movie. And I love that. And I really appreciated that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, top hat and all for John. I love that. So, I mean, I don't know. For me, I'd give costumes the same score. I'd give it an 8.
Nate,
what about you?
This one was tough for me, because I really liked what they had done with Hook and his outfit. Freaking love Tiger Lily's outfit. Peter Pan, I can agree with you. It came off like really freaking bland, but I feel like it worked.
Fair enough.
Like, because I'm thinking of, like, the original Peter Pan. He had, like, the pointy boots. What was he wearing, shorts? Or was it, like, really light green tights?
It was light green tights.
Yeah, so the light green tights, the brown boots, the loose-fitting shirt. Like, I think they nailed that. Like, the boots, like, that he was wearing looked killer. Like, I love that they still had, like, the pointed boots. The hat was on point. I think that the hat could have probably used a feather.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with you.
Smee was, like, straight out of the freaking cartoon, but, like, adapted really well. Like, I think he had the best adaptation. And then, yeah, the Lost Boys, I think all of them looked really cool. I think their outfits worked, like, all of theirs. And, like, I know that they had some that were, like, trying to be adaptations of some of the originals, like, whatever the kid was with the fox, outfit.
Did I forget?
what was his name? Nibs?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and then, like, yeah, all the Lost Boys, like, looked really cool. I liked the one with, like, the bark mask.
That was super cool.
That was a killer mask. But yeah, I liked the adaptations of all the Lost Boys. And, like you said, the pirates were killer, too. But yeah, I'd probably be at the same as well, sitting at an 8. All right, what do you have for the personal score?
All right, so overall, it's not a horrible reimagining or live action adaptation of Peter Pan, but it's definitely not my favorite. I've seen worse. Looking at you, Pinocchio. I will say, like, when it comes to, like, Disney live action adaptations that I've seen recently, this is definitely better than Pinocchio, and that is actually a high bar. That is a high remark, in my opinion. So, like, overall, I had a decent time. Like, I will admit, I did get bored in some spots. The story did kind of drag on for me for a little bit.
You said you were going to shut it off.
True. Okay, I changed my mind a little bit. Okay, you should be glad you talked me up, man.
Did I really?
Yeah, you did actually.
Got gosh, I hate when I do that.
Yeah, you asshole. But no, overall, I appreciated I appreciated that they stuck with the source material but tried to add new things to it. And for the most part, I feel they did it decently well. Most of the cast was good, some better than others. But we've said that plenty of times throughout this episode. So overall, I'm going to give Peter Pan and Wendy, I'll give it a 70. I'll give it a 75.
I thought this movie was a really well done adaptation of the Peter Pan story. I feel it made it more interesting. They were able to give some background behind the hate that Hook has for Peter that worked really well with the overall story. I think the changes that they made were really well done. I do feel there is a little bit of wokeness in this movie that didn't need to be there, but I mean, it was there. It's, what can you do about it? But I think that the character of Peter Pan came off as bland, but they were able to improve other characters like Wendy and Hook and some of like the other pirates. And so I think they did a really well done job with what they were doing. Unfortunately, just as a whole, I don't think it worked out extremely well. So this is a really tough one. I think unless you are just the biggest of Peter Pan fans, there's not too much to get out of this movie. So I'm going to give this movie a 78. But yeah. So anyway, that concludes this breakdown, going through the scores real quick. Story didn't start off very strong. It started off at a 78, which was just right in line with the writing, sitting also at a 78. The acting, we both gave it an 80. Character development, we ended up giving an 81. The effects were probably the high point of this movie, sitting at an 85.5. Music and costumes were really, really good. I think the only thing costumes was lacking was just solid silhouette. And so we ended up giving those an 8. And then our personal score averaged out to a 76.5. So the final All Bros letter grade for Peter Pan and Wendy has come out to a B minus.
Really? I thought it was going to hit the C's.
I thought it was going to hit the C's as well. And it's, I mean, it's not a super weak one. Like, our cutoff is 80% for a B minus. And this scored an 81.125.
Damn.
Yeah, so, like, ooh. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, dude, I was not expecting that at all.
Neither was I. Wow. Like, that is really freaking cool. Gosh. So yeah, so sitting at an 81.12. All right. I usually try to take a shot at where I think the movie's going to be. And I had this at like a C. I had the C's and the C pluses highlighted. But obviously I was dead ass wrong. Oh no.
Oh god.
No.
Oh, I don't want to know.
Oh dude, we're going to get the most hate.
Oh god. All right, let's hear it.
Alright, so, like I said, Peter Pan and Wendy is sitting at a B-, sitting at an 0.12%. That puts it below Late Night, which is at an 81.37. It's below The Matrix Reloaded, which is at an 81.66. It is below Birds of Prey, which is at an 81.75, as well as Holiday in Handcuffs, which is at an 81.78. And then finally, it is below The Bad Guys, which is at an 81.81.
I'm scared.
You should be.
Oh, God.
We put it above Deadpool 2.
Oh, shit.
Which is at an 81.08.
Oof, okay.
Yeah, doesn't that make you feel horrible inside?
Yeah, very.
We put it above the Banana Splits movie, which is at an 80.91.
I'm actually okay with that.
It's above Dune, which is at an 80.62.
Yeah, I wasn't... Okay, I wasn't completely bored in this one.
Yeah.
So I didn't agree with that.
We put it above Top Gun, which is at an 80.37.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, not Top Gun Maverick, Top Gun.
Okay, all right.
So the first one. And then we put it above Good Boys, which is at an 80.25.
Yeah, that Deadpool 2 is really stinging.
Oh, dude, that was a kick in the nuts.
Yeah, people are not going to be happy with us for that.
Nope. I need to go back and see why Deadpool 2 ended up where it did.
Oh, shit.
This is one of the ones that we had other people collaborate on.
Ah, damn it. Well, whoever collaborated on that, you suck.
Dude, that's freaking killing me. So, hold on. This is going to aggravate me. Oh, balls. Oh, man. All right, so this is a direct comparison of Deadpool 2 to Peter Pan and Wendy. And again, this is because of a collaboration. This is one of the ones that, this is like we were trying to get all the movies that we've ever done, or that we hadn't done the old system at, or with. And then we like sent it out to a bunch of friends and was just like, hey, if you want to rate some movies, like feel free. And so this is why this is so low. So don't get 100% mad at us.
Don't come at us.
Gosh, if there's ever one that needed to be re-explored, it's Deadpool 2. So we gave Peter Pan and Wendy higher in story,
wow,
lower in writing,
okay,
lower in acting, higher in character development, higher in effects.
Really?
Oh my gosh, we gave it higher in music. How did that freaking happen?
What?
That's the thing. That's the kicker. I can like let a lot of these other ones slide, but higher in music.
Yeah, that's a stretch.
Yeah, costumes tied. Our personal score was significantly higher, and then the average just ended up being lower. The difference, though, is 0.04%.
Okay, shit. So yeah, that's really close.
The margins are ridiculously close.
Wow.
Dude, we're going to get a ridiculous amount of hate.
Yes, we are.
And
I'm not looking forward to it.
I am very much looking forward to it.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's going to be so freaking fun. Anyway, so that's where it ended up.
I hope I would say that this is that wraps up this episode. Unless you got anything else you want to say, Caleb.
Oof. Other than freaking oof. Not really.
All right. Well, if you like what you heard and you want to listen to more of our amazing voices, you can follow and subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. We are literally everywhere. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. You can also catch all of our episodes on YouTube if that's your preferred listening platform. If you want to follow us on social media or email us, where you can DM us with episode ideas you have, answer our questions of the week, and also give us movie suggestions, you can do so at as follows. Facebook, facebook.com/TheAllBros. Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at TheAllBros. Or you can email us at theallbroschannel@gmail.com. If you want to check out our website, you can do so at tinyurl.com/TheAllBros. Or if you want to buy some of our merch, you can do so at tpublic.com/user/TheAllBrosChannel. Next week on the podcast, we'll be breaking down the highly anticipated Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. So freaking excited for this movie. I cannot wait to see it. Hopefully it delivers. I've heard it does. But I'm honestly not ready to cry my eyes out. So yeah. But until next time, this has been the All Bros Podcast. I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we'll see you guys next week. So long.
Deuces.